When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
There is a secret key that establishes a bond and an attachment between us and our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This key, my dear brothers and sisters, is our most valuable gift from Allah and the greatest ni'mah and blessing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us, called dua, supplication and prayer. And it is the thing which connects our inner yearnings and our heart to attach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a vulnerable child is when they are born into this world and attaches themselves to their mother. And so they find peace and protection no matter what happens to them in life. Dua. And dua in the Arabic language means to call upon. To call upon. What a beautiful word that Allah told us to use, inviting us to call upon Him. When someone tells you, "I'm here if you need me, you can call me anytime." Yes, in the beginning it'll be easy. But if you continue to call that person over and over again, or someone calls you over and over again, even if they are your own blood relative, it gets to a point where you do get tired. But Allah is the only one who says to you that you can call upon Him forever and He will never get tired nor annoyed of you when you call upon Him. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that it is only those who are rebellious and are filled with pride, arrogance, that choose to turn away from calling to Allah. And when Allah says to you, call upon Him, it is not a matter of slavery or superior, making you feel that you are an inferior being of some sort. Of course, Allah is superior to us and we are inferior to Him. But it's not for that purpose. Allah does not need us to call upon Him. He doesn't need the attachment. But when Allah gives us the example of our parents and how He lets us see their indescribable love and their unconditional love to their children, a good parent doesn't want anything in return. Allah is showing us a glimpse of what He means when He tells us, call upon me. Allah wants you to attach to Him and He wants good for you. Why? Because He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the ones whose mercy never runs out. The two names which Allah tells us to repeat every single rak'ah of our prayer that we pray. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The best dua in the world is Al-Fatiha. The Fatiha that we recite in every rak'ah of Salah. The first seven verses of the Quran, in the absolute first surah on the first page of the Quran, is called Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening. The best and most comprehensive dua that you can ever ask, if you don't know any other way to call upon Allah, just recite Surah Al-Fatiha. The middle of it is Ihdina الصراط المستقيم. O Allah, guide us to the straight and best path. And you can apply that meaning to anything in life. When you are lost, send us to the straight path, my Lord. When you're confused, send me to the straight path, my Lord. When all is going bad, oh Allah, I'm losing myself, send me to the right path. When I feel in pain, I'm vulnerable, oh Allah, keep me on the straight path. My brothers and sisters, and so the opening that Allah wants us to know is that He is always there for you, and that He always waits for you to connect to Him. Allah says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون.
Chapter 2 verse 186, Allah says, O Muhammad, in brackets, when my servants ask you about me, tell them I am quite near. Now, some translations will say, tell them. But the correct meaning is, I am near. Tell them that I say, I am near. Or Allah is saying, you don't need to tell them. I will tell them, I am near. Allah is speaking directly to you. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ I am near. I hear and answer the call of the caller whenever he calls me. Let them listen to my call and believe in me. Perhaps they will be guided right. I hear and answer the call of the caller whenever he calls me. Do you see how Allah describes you in the description, the caller? There is a hidden message there. Allah doesn't want you to just call upon Him every now and then. Allah doesn't want you to call upon Him only when you need Him, once in a blue moon. Allah says to you, I want them to be callers, which means always, always, always. Call upon Allah when you need Him or don't need Him. Call upon Allah in ease and in hardship, in sickness and in health, in good times and bad times. And don't ever stop calling upon Him. Whether you need something or you don't, because calling upon Allah has a more vast meaning than just requesting what you want, and we're going to explain that. Allah also says in the Quran,
وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ.
In Surah 40 verse 60, Allah says, your Lord said, pray to me, yani, call upon me, pray to me is another word, and I will accept your prayers. Surely those who appear or act too proud to worship me shall enter hell utterly abased. Dua, therefore, brothers and sisters, does not only mean to call upon Allah, but it means worshipping Allah. If you think you are arrogant to not even worship Allah and ignore His existence, then this person has chosen to go to another path. Allah also says in the Quran,
ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية إنه لا يحب المعتدين.
Surah 7 verse 55, call upon your Lord with humility and in secret alone between you and Allah, silently, quietly. Surely He does not love transgressors, meaning those who transgress in the way they make dua. And we're going to come to that, inshallah, to explain in detail. Allah also says in Surah 7, verse 56,
وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَدَعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
and do not make mischief in the earth after it has been set in order, and call upon him with fear and longing. With fear and longing, surely Allah's mercy is close to those who do good. Longing, tama'a, in the Arabic language literally means out of greed. Tama' means greed. But depending on the context where you place that word tama' in the Arabic language, it can change the meaning from greed to extreme hope. That's what it means here. Longing means hopeful. Hopeful for what? Always hoping for the day when you meet Allah. So when we call upon Allah, it's not just temporary. Some people restrict it to just the now. But Allah says, call upon him with the anticipation, looking forward to after you die, when you go up on the day of judgment in paradise, when you meet him and talk to him and he talks to you. Call upon Allah, imagining yourself already in paradise and you are speaking to Allah and seeing Allah. That's what it means. Tama'a. What are we working here for, brothers and sisters? What is our end goal for every Muslim? What is it? Two things. Paradise and being saved from the fire. Is there anything else? That's all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to people, especially when they are in need and desperate. Allah says,
أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ.
Allah says in Surah 27 verse 62, who is it who heeds the prayers of the distressed when he calls out to him and he removes his difficulty? Who is there other than Allah who listens to the call of the distressed and who removes his affliction? And who is it who makes you vicegerents of earth? Who made you to look after the earth and give you leadership and power to look after it? Is there any God associated with Allah in this task? Is there anyone else who hears your prayer other than Allah? Who are you calling out to? Why turn away to anyone other than him? How little do you reflect? How little do you reflect on the creation that is around you? How little do you reflect on yourselves and the signs that Allah has dispersed all around you that all tell you, they guide you and they point to who made all of this, who to turn to? Do you not see the sun subjecting itself to you and giving you heat and vitamin D? Who's it following? Which course? Who put it on this course? The moon and the tidal waves of the oceans and the earth and the crops that grow for you and the rain that comes down and the animals that are subjected to you. How were they subjected to you? Does this not tell you something about the Creator? So why do we turn to anyone other than Allah? Anything else? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally says in Surah number 7 verse 180,
وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدَعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
Allah has the most excellent names. So call on him by his names and shun those who distort his names. Shun those who call Allah something other than what he is and call him names that are not attributed to him, that do not befit him, subhanah. You call him by the most beautiful names that he taught you, they shall soon be requited for their deeds. So opening with this introduction, brothers and sisters, with these beautiful verses of the Quran, which are numerous throughout the Quran, Allah has made the core of the Quran about dua and worship and attaching yourself to him. My dear brothers and sisters, what is dua in the Sharia meaning, in Islamic meaning really? The Prophet, peace be upon him, answered that question. He said,
"Inna dua huwa al-ibadah."
Dua is worship itself. Dua is worship itself. That's what dua is. And my brothers and sisters, dua is worship, but it has two forms that it comes with. Two forms of dua. Number one, we call it the dua of request. And that is basically asking Allah for what you want. Anything of this world or of the hereafter. Oh Allah, forgive me, have mercy upon me, grant me provision, grant me a righteous spouse, grant me children righteous and comfort to my eyes, save us and protect us, grant my business success, O Allah, guide me. All this is called dua of request. And this is one form of worship. Every time you do it, you're worshipping Allah. The second form of dua of worship is called dua of actions, pleasing to Allah and avoiding that which displeases Allah. Your salah is dua. Your fasting is dua. Your hajj is dua. Your zakah is dua. Being good to your parents for the sake of Allah is dua. Charity is dua. Helping someone is dua. Working to provide your family is dua. Looking after the needy and the poor is dua. Bringing a smile to someone is dua. Gifting someone for the sake of Allah is dua. Protecting someone is dua. And on and on and on. Looking after a destitute animal is dua. Planting a tree, even in the middle of the desert, for beasts and creatures to shade under it is dua. All of this is also called dua. Dua of actions for the sake of Allah. What does that mean? It means, brothers and sisters, that every time you do good deeds, if you've got Allah in mind and you're doing it for the sake of Allah, guess what? It's a type of dua that Allah looks after you and gives you your needs and wants without you actually asking for it. Did you know that? Your prayer, your salah, when you pray from Allahu Akbar to Assalamu Alaikum in the end, all of that is also called dua. Salat is called dua. In fact, dua is sometimes called salah in hadith and in the Quran. Salah. When they used to say to Nuh and Salih and all those prophets, they used to say, As-salatuka ta'muruka. Does your dua and your worship tell you to do this? So salah means dua, and dua means salah, which means connection to Allah. When you pray from beginning to end and you didn't ask Allah for a single thing except the words that you've learned, then this means that whatever you're yearning for, any needs that you have while you're praying, any fears that you have when you approach prayer, any wants and needs and worries that are approaching you while you're doing salat, guess what? Without asking for it, your salat becomes the dua for that. When you are good to your parents, even if you don't feel like it, you are making dua. Did you not hear the Prophet ﷺ's hadith when he said, whoever would like that their life be quality and blessed and their provision be a lot, then connect your ties. Be good to your parents. That is a dua. You receive something for that. Did you not hear in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim about the woman or the man who gave a dog water to drink for the sake of Allah? And because of it, Allah forgave them without saying, oh Allah.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world. Again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Oh, forgive me. They had done really bad major sins. So every good deed done for the sake of Allah is a dua. So now, what is dua? Dua is, what is it? It's worship. And worship is dua. And it comes in two forms, dua of request and dua of doing everything in life that pleases Allah. So it's your entire life. Your entire life. My brothers and sisters, Allah says in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Any male or female who does righteous deeds, we shall give them a blessed life. Now, here, and also in the hereafter. That's a dua. Although you haven't actually asked for a blessed life, by living a life of righteousness, Allah gives you a blessed life. So, two forms of dua. My dear brothers and sisters, I've recited some of the verses of the Quran, and here are some hadiths that will give your heart some peace, inshallah. The hadith is in Sahih al-Hakim wa Ibn Majah and Tirmidhi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Your Lord is shy. Of course, when we talk about Allah with descriptions that we are familiar with from a human perspective, we are not saying Allah is like a human. Hasha lillah, a'udhu billah. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa tells us words to give us an understanding of something, a meaning that gives us this type of feeling that our Lord is close to us. He says, Your Lord, inna rabbakum hayy. Your Lord has a type of shyness. What does that mean? Kareem. He is honorable and generous. Yastahyi min abdihi. He is shy of his servant, that when his servant lifts his hands up to call upon him, to return his hands empty. To return his hands empty. You call to Allah and you lift your hands up, and Allah says, Rasulullah said, Allah is shy to return your hands empty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also responds to disbelievers, non-Muslims. If the non-Muslim calls upon Allah sincerely without any partners, directly to Allah, the one true God. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih, in Ahmad, which is authenticated by Imam al-Albani, he says, beware, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of the supplication of the oppressed. The oppressed, someone who you wronged. For the dua of the oppressed person will not be rejected by Allah, even if it was from a disbeliever. وَلَوْ كَانَتْ مِنْ كَافِرٍ. For the dua of the oppressed, there is no veil between it and Allah, the Most High, the Omnipotent. In the Quran, Allah says in Surah 17, verse 67, and when a calamity befalls you on the sea, all those whom you invoke forsake you except Him, Allah. But when He delivers you safely to the shore, you turn away from Him. For man is indeed most thankless. Scholars, including the great Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, says, disbelievers, if they are oppressed or in need, and a disbeliever calls upon Allah alone, he responds, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to things such as provision, sickness, safety, protection, and so on. So if Allah even responds to the non-Muslim who rejects Allah, if he or she calls upon Allah sincerely, imagine for the believer who worships Allah with all their heart and does not make any part of Allah and says the Shahada, how generous and compassionate Allah is. Compassionate He is. I remember once at a school I taught, a non-Muslim man entered and asked for the imam of the school. So they came to me, and this man was about in his 40s. He looked very tired, very distressed. He said, I'm a non-Muslim, but I didn't know where else to go. I just want to pray your prayer to God. I said to him, the conditions are you have to pray only to Allah, the one and only. He said, please, I'm ready to do that. So he sat with me and he did a salah with me. And then he sat down, lifted his hands up, and I coached him what to say. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. And he made the dua and he left. I never heard from him again, but the fact that he came to ask to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one and only, I did not reject him, because Allah tells us He responds to anyone in destitute who needs Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if he is a disbeliever. I hope, Ya Rab, that his matter was taken care of. My brothers and sisters, Ibn al-Qayyim, the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim, you've heard of him. There is a book called Ad-Da' wa-Dawa. Every household should have one. And now, alhamdulillah, there's a PDF form of it, translated into English. It's called the sickness and its cure, the ailment and its healing. Adda wa dawa, magnificent book. Every person should read that as part of their system of learning Islam. Adda wa dawa, the sickness, the ailment and its cure, by Ibn al-Qayyim. In that book, he talks tremendously about dua and getting closer to Allah. And he describes, based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the dua is like a bow and arrow. So obviously he's a 11th century scholar. They had bows and arrows at that time. He said, it is like a bow and arrow. The more you stretch the bow, the further the arrow will pierce. Your dua is like that bow. The more you stretch it, the more it comes from your heart, and the more you are honest to Allah and you humble yourself to Allah, and the better your actions and deeds are in your life, the stronger your dua will reach the target. And according to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith which is in Tirmidhi and others, and it has been authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dua and the calamity that comes down from the heavens, the dua goes up, the calamity comes down, and they meet in the heavens. They meet halfway. وَيَتَصَارَعَانَ, they begin to wrestle each other. Either the calamity beats the dua and comes down weaker, weaker, or the dua repels the calamity, completely gone, cancelled, or they continue to wrestle till the day of judgment. And that is based on the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, that nothing can affect or change calamities of qadr except for dua. And I'm going to explain that in a second. For now, I would like to talk about what are the conditions of a valid dua, and what are the etiquettes, the manners in how to make your dua better. So the conditions for a valid dua and the etiquettes of how to make your dua better. Number one, the conditions. So I'm going to enumerate nine conditions for a valid and proper dua, the way Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it and taught us. Number one, the first condition is to call upon Allah alone, pure monotheism, in His lordship, in His worship, and in His names and attributes. What does lordship mean? Lordship means the actions of Allah and the power of Allah and the work of Allah. What is the Lord? The creator, the sustainer, the provider. Allah's actions. Nobody is partnered with Allah's actions. We've done a lecture about law of attraction and the law of manifestation. Do you remember that lecture? We've got to be careful not to go to extremes, to give too much significance to outside forces or energies or whatever we want to call them, to give them too much emphasis, to remember that Allah is the one who can bring or take away. Nothing can happen without His permission or will. So He is the Lord. And number two, worship. You turn to Him. Those are your actions. Your actions are only to Allah, no one to else, not to anyone else. And lastly, His names and attributes. You call upon Him with His names and attributes, and you don't call upon God with other names and attributes. Number two, the second condition, you have to have the presence of the heart. What does it mean to have the presence of the heart? It means that when you call upon Allah and you make dua, you have the feeling inside of you of His greatness and His majesty. You've got to know who you've turned to. Who are you talking to right now? Who is this Allah who you're talking to? Who is this one who you are praying to? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih Tirmidhi, and know that Allah will not respond to a person who makes a dua from a heart that is neglectful. Neglectful. You know, some people, they just say it with their mouth, but they don't mean it with their heart. We finish our salat, and some people, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. But they're not even really aware of what they're saying. It's just like a robot. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, and looking around. They can't wait to talk to the person next to them. Sometimes they finish salat, the first thing you do, they talk. They're talking about something and saying astaghfirullah in the background with their mouths. This is not a dua. Or I make dua quickly because I have to, but my mind is on something else. I've got to run, got to run, got to run. Give yourself time with your heart present for a few seconds or a few minutes. So the heart being present. Number three, using only permissible intermediaries. What does that mean? People usually feel that they need to go get to Allah through something. This is where idolatry came from. This is why people wear talismans and amulets and they think I can get to God better that way. Or they think they have to be at the grave of someone special in order for Allah to accept their dua. That's not true. There are three types of permissible intermediaries that you can use. Number one, Allah told us in the Quran, His names and attributes. Because they are Allah. His names and attributes are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to resort to mentioning your good deeds that you have done. Like you say to Allah, my Lord, if you know, and you do know, that one time, just throwing an example, one time I helped two brothers reconcile who are about to disunite. And I did such a thing to keep them united for your sake. If my Lord, you have accepted that I've done this for your sake, then grant me this dua. That's an intermediary, but you are intermediating through your good actions, which are still between you and Allah. You're not making any partners with Allah. And this is based on the hadith in Bukhari about the three men who got stuck in the cave. I won't repeat it, but you can go and look at it. The third type of intermediary is to... SubhanAllah, I've forgotten the third one. The third type of intermediary of SubhanAllah, it's gone out of my mind. But the point is that you are through your actions of worship. So while you're doing good acts, so you're worshipping Allah, you're doing salah, you're reciting Quran, you are helping your mother and father, you're helping someone in need, you're giving charity. While you're doing good deeds, while you're worshipping Allah, call upon Allah. The dua is stronger while you are doing good deeds. And that's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number four. Of the conditions of the dua and making it better is not hastening. Not hastening. What does hastening mean? It means that you want your response now. Number two, you say your dua too quick. So one of the ways that we are slow with our dua, and I'm going to explain it later, is that we start by saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And then you send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you call upon Allah with one or two of his names. And then you respectfully ask Allah. And you finish it with Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. So this is not hastening. Rasulullah saw a man hastening with his dua. He jumped straight away to Allahumma, oh Allah, give me this or give me that. He said, you are hastening. Start with tahmid and then salawat and then ask and then finish it like that. Because that's how we start our salat, isn't it? Fatiha, we make salawat and then we make dua. One man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, how do you make dua? How do you call upon Allah? And the man said, ya Rasulullah, I say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then I say, oh Allah, I ask you for paradise, and I ask you to save me from hellfire. He said, I don't know all the murmuring and the, you know, verbal... and the dancing that we do with our words are all around what you are saying. That's it. All we're doing at the end of the day is we're asking Allah for paradise and to save us from the fire. So some people can't find the words, but simple words. Oh Allah, we ask you for paradise and save us from the fire. You say the shahada and so on. Very easy. Number five. Your dua must not contain haram requests or cutting of ties and kinship. That's a condition. If you want your dua to be accepted, you do not ask Allah for something that He is not pleased with. Cutting off ties, they make dua for something haram. One time I heard this young person say, can I ask Allah for so and so to be my boyfriend or girlfriend and to love me? Said, we're going to ask Allah for something haram? No. Can't do that. Or you say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the strength and ability to be a good thief. No one's going to say that. May Allah give me the courage to use foul language like the other, so I can be known and sing it at school or something like that. No, you can't do that, brothers and sisters. There's a hadith that comes to mind in Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah ﷺ said, a person's dua will always be accepted by Allah so long as they do not call for something that is haram or to cutting off ties. One person said, Ya Rasulullah, what does hastening the dua mean? And he said, it's like a person who says, I made dua, and I kept making dua, but I don't see that my dua was responded yet. Then he gives up, despairs, and stops making dua. فَيَسْتَحْسِرْ عِنْدَ ذَٰلِكَ وَيَدَعَ الدُّعَى. The thing is, maybe dua is good for you right now, maybe later. Maybe what you're asking for is not going to be good for you in this life, and Allah wants to give it to you in the hereafter.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.